ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय त्वमेव ध्यायति देवम् अपत्यं कपिलं हरिं बभूवाचिरतो वत्स निष्प्रिया तदृशे गृहे तम् एवाध्याति देवम् अपत्यं कपिलं हरिं बभूवाचिरतो वत्स निष्प्रिया तादृशे गृहे तमेव ध्यायति देवम् अपत्यं कपिलं हरिं बभूवाचिरतो वत्स निष्प्रिया तादृशे गृहे ताम् upon him, eva, certainly, jayati, meditating, devam, divine, apatyam, son, kapilam, Lord Kapila, harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhavuva, became achirataha, very soon. Vatsa, O dear Vidura, nispriha, unattached. Tadrishe grihe, to such a home. Translation, O Vidura, thus always meditating upon her son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev, she very soon became unattached to her nicely decorated home. O Vidura,
O Vidura,
thus always meditating upon her son,
thus always meditating upon her son,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Kapila Dev,
she very soon became unattached
to her
nicely decorated home. Purport, here is a practical example of how one can elevate oneself to spiritual advancement by Krishna consciousness. Kapila Dev is Krishna, and he appeared as the son of Devahuti. After Kapila Dev left home, Devahuti was observed and thought of him. Thus she was always Krishna conscious. Her constant situation in Krishna consciousness enabled her to be detached from her hearth and home. Unless we are able to transfer our attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no possibility of becoming freed from material attachment. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore confirmed that it is not possible for one to become liberated by cultivation of empiric philosophical speculation. Simply knowing that one is not matter but spirit soul or Brahma does not purify one's intelligence. Even if the impersonalist reaches the highest platform of spiritual realization, he falls down again to material attachments because of not being situated in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. The devotees adopt the devotional process, hearing about the Supreme Lord's pastimes and glorifying his activities, and thereby always remembering his beautiful eternal form. By rendering service, becoming his friend or his servant, and offering him everything that one possesses, one is able to enter into the kingdom of God. As it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Tato mam tatato gatva. After discharging pure devotional service, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fact, and thus one becomes eligible to enter into his association in one of the spiritual planets. So here's a very ideal family situation where Lord Himself exemplifies to His wife Devahuti, Kapila Muni, who is none other than Krishna Himself. He is setting the example to His wife and to people who have families, that they can follow the example of Krishna Himself. Kapila Dev, or you also know many other forms as Lord, like Lord Ramachandra, they also showed great example of to the world. As in the family, when the husband and wife they are staying together, the idea is to become Krishna conscious. Sense gratification comes last. First is spiritual life. Actually, if we understand the spiritual life, becoming Krishna conscious is what actually gives us pleasure. Real pleasure in life is coming from spiritual pleasure. Any pleasure, in material pleasure, there's no pleasure. So when family, like you have children and expansion of family, if everyone comes together to serve Krishna and glorifies Krishna, like mentioned here, then there is a there's peace in the shanti in the family. So Devahuti can remember after Kapila Dev left how her husband Kapila Dev, who set such a good Krishna conscious example that the wife can follow. So sometimes it's very sensitive that everyone is watching how one is Krishna conscious or not in a spiritual association. We are always observed in different ways, and we are seeing how others behave and their platform of spiritual consciousness. So actually the process of devotional service is so wonderful that even one just once does a little bit of devotional service, it gives one a better opportunity of becoming more Krishna conscious, because he made the start. Once he make the start, just wish to become Krishna's devotee, wish to be a devotee, and Krishna will bring them in closer to the association of devotees and engage them gradually. So just like lighting a fire, you start a little bit and gradually there is smoke, and to be able to get the fire going, there's always difficult in the beginning. But similarly, in order for us to bring up that Krishna consciousness, there must be initial desire. And then, like it's mentioned, that one has to have a taste for serving Krishna. You have to develop love. If you don't have love for Krishna, then even if there is no love, you love someone at the temple, some devotees, and you make friendship with them, that's also the start. Because they will gradually bring you to Krishna consciousness. So there must be appreciation. So in spiritual society, in the association of devotees, it's important that we create that atmosphere here in the temple or wherever we are. We have to create that feelings amongst a newcomer. If we are here in the temple, we're enjoying Krishna consciousness. Actually, a preacher, they want to share that Krishna consciousness with others. Like if you have something very nice, and you want to share with others. That pleasure that gives a devotee, releases the pleasure when he is actually sharing with others. That's what gives Krishna pleasure. Krishna is happy, Krishna is pleased when Krishna says Bhagavad Gita, those who preach my glory, they are very dear to me. Like, So devotees, they risk their life. Like Srila Prabhupada is the perfect example. Srila Prabhupada himself, he wasn't just sitting in Vrindavan. He was preparing all along. After his Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, go to the west and preach. He didn't go immediately. He was preparing. The time was ready, he went. It's not that. So, when there's something very valuable, something so special, and the most special thing for us as a devotee that we know this will please Krishna, we take risk. We take difficulty for ourselves because we know this will give pleasure to Guru, this will give pleasure to Krishna. So we don't mind to suffer. Actually, he's not thinking he's suffering. Devotional service is not suffering. We have feeling pain in lower back and pain here, pain there, doing services after a while. But Srila Prabhupada used to say, Krishna is waiting for you. Srila Prabhupada told Tamakrishna Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is waiting for you. Because they have surrendered so much. And you see some devotees, they have rendered so much service to Prabhupada. Seemingly they're not here, they're left. But at the end of life, when they get sick or something, they are running to the temple to be with us. They want advice from the devotees. We go to see them in the hospital, and or else they go to Vrindavan. So somehow Krishna always makes arrangement for the devotees to go back to Godhead at the end. We may forget, but Krishna doesn't forget. Everything you do for Krishna, Krishna is always there for you. That was remember. So we may think, oh, it's such a hardship. So difficult. But there's no hardship. Hardship is when we think it's difficult. Because material body is the ocean of misery, full of suffering. Everywhere it touches pain. Om aganati vanandasya gananjana shalakaya. Material body is born darkness and ignorance. It's full of suffering from the beginning. It's not a pleasurable thing. And it's growing. You see there's kids here, they're very fortunate. You're all very fortunate because you're able to chant Hare Krishna and associate devotees and playing with Danga and learning all the devotional processes from right from the beginning of your life. And when you go to a school, Karmi school, there's no group here. You go to Australian Karmi school and you're not taking their association. Even though you're with them, you have so much training, Krishna consciousness here in the temple, so much chanting, right early in the morning. Even the husband is not, or wife may be not able to get up. But the children are here. They may be waking you up. Daddy, get up. Time for Mangal Aarti. That's why Krishna conscious children is what Prabhupada encourages us. You see, even today, some an Indian family, they name their children like some Karmi name, Sally, or maybe like Layla instead of Leela, or stuff like that. Mundane. But devotees, we give them spiritual name so we can remember Krishna. By calling them, we can remember Krishna. We're giving them training from early age. So Devahuti here, she is the ideal wife of Kapiladev. Kapiladev is God himself. Srila Prabhupada used to see these small kids in the school. And he always encouraged the children. Sometimes the kids are like really wild. Right? You're all pretty wild. But you're wild chanting, dancing. That's okay. And Prabhupada never chastised them too much. You know, I have seen Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class in Mayapur. And I was falling asleep in front of Prabhupada giving the talk. If your Guru Maharaj is talking to you and speaking, you don't fall asleep, especially in front of Srila Prabhupada. You have no idea if Srila Prabhupada is actually there on the altar, on the Vyasasana, and he's giving the talk, and you fall asleep in front of Prabhupada, that's the greatest offense. Prabhupada is saying, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I will hit the floor. Fall asleep. And I said, Jai Srila Prabhupada, time to get up. Because that's the end of the Bhagavatam class. But Prabhupada never chastised any of the boys. The sannyasis have the big dandas, they will be poking us. And Prabhupada stopped them, to let them sleep. They will hear one day. So Prabhupada always had the vision. So family life in Krishna consciousness ideal Krishna conscious family life is when you can put Krishna in the center. House of a grihastha, house of a family, is not your home. Don't think, oh, my home, my TV, my bank balance, my car, my everything. I've been in Hong Kong, and there's one very rich Indian family. In the same building, the temple's on the 6th floor, they live on the 10th floor. Cindy, love Cindy, and Gujaratis live in. And people who live in Hong Kong, they're very wealthy. If you're completely wealthy, or you're not there. Because you have to be wealthy to come there. Because only the business people came 30 years ago or recently. So they have one daughter, she's disabled. And they're very wealthy. And they're living in Hong Kong on the 10th floor, the same building where the devotees are. So it's very difficult for the parents to take care of a disabled person. But they're so determined to be Krishna conscious. They bring the disabled girl to Mangalati, Bhagavatam class. Because they can't sleep anyway. It's already up, so it's in the same building. And every time, they're there every day for Bhagavatam class. I don't think she understands it or not, but every time she says, Jai Hari Bol, she goes, she does it. She has her hands up. I'm sure this would be her last life. So my point is, the rich family, so the husband and the wife, they always complain to me, they say, how Krishna can do this, and to us, and giving us a disabled person, and we have to, I said, you're wealthy, you can take care of them, that's why Krishna gave you. And plus, you can make them Krishna conscious. If you can't make others Krishna conscious, at least you can make your daughter Krishna conscious. That will be credit to you. Family, charity begins at home. If you can become Krishna conscious yourself, then gradually you can make others Krishna conscious. Prabhupada used to say, first your family and the people around you, neighbors, and the village, and the whole country. Gradually the whole world. Oh yeah, I'll take over the whole world. So Prabhupada said, you can take over the whole world. We can make the whole world Krishna conscious in 18 days. Everybody says, oh yeah, really? Well, sure, we can do it. But Prabhupada said, but you're not ready for it. If everyone was Krishna conscious, the people used to say, if everybody became Hare Krishna and Hare Krishna Hare Ram, they said in India, a Hare Krishna devotee, what would happen to the world? You know that? Prabhupada said that there will be no more hippies, they'll become happies. If everybody became Krishna conscious, then we would have no problem. We could just have a Harinam every day. Because the government and everyone's devotee, we didn't have to worry about finances. Everything is taken care of. And then before, the kings, the Raja Rishis, they used to take care of the devotees. Those who are Vaishnavas, they had to work. Government, your devotees, they take care. Only if you're a businessman, you have to work for it. So, obviously there's more devotees because government will take care of them. But they have to preach. In the past, the kings, they would make sure everybody follow Ekadashi. Everybody follow the four-eggers principles, otherwise they put you in prison. You didn't follow Ekadashi, they were put in the prison. That's a good king. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that one day will come that the judges, they will be wearing tilak. That's about time coming now. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said there will be a day when Europeans and Americans and Australians and Chinese will come to Mayapur and they say, Haribol, Haribol, Jaya Sachinandana, Nitai Gauranga. And that's the time, that's now, that's happening now. So if you are not coming to temple, if you're not associating with devotees, you're really missing out. I'm sure everyone is listening to this in the YouTube right now.
You're missing out.
You're missing out. Can I say that right? But, of course, the modern technology is making us Krishna conscious. Wherever they are, they can hear it through the YouTube. So, my point is that family, wherever the situation is, think, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that I don't mind to take a birth as a worm in the house of a devotee so they can step on me as a grass. I don't mind to take a birth as a grass in the house of a devotee in their lawn so the devotees will step on me. That's the standard of Krishna consciousness. You see here, you know, we see all the animals, you know, birds and fish in the tank, the fountain. Those, they're the greatest devotee. We don't even, if any cat or dog comes here, we're not giving them cat food. They're eating prasadam. And those fish, they're already, they're red color, they're already like brahmacharis. and then there's white ones. So my point is that we always have to remember the purpose behind of our executing Krishna consciousness. Whether it's a kiva vipra kiva nasi shidra kani nai jaya Krishna tata veda shay guru hoy. A person can become a guru if he knows the science of Krishna. It doesn't matter if you're kiva, vipra, brahmana, kiva, sannyasi, or shudra kani nai, or a shudra. If you know the science of Krishna, if you know how to love Krishna, if you know how to engage others in Krishna's service, you are a guru, you're a teacher. Guru doesn't mean you go to the Monash University and they teach you, the IT stuff, graphic designs. Everything is graphic. This whole material world is a Greek graphic place. Krishna is the ultimate designer. He designed this material body and this whole creation. And he created our intelligence and how it is created. So they go, so that's not a guru. They tell you how to develop economic development so you can support your family and make money. Everyone's doing that anyway. If you can develop love for Krishna, that is the great achievement in life. Any person can go out and make money and support somehow or another. That's not a big issue. They always say in Australia, get out of your bum, get a job. Right? Get a job, mate. We're doing the highest service to Krishna. Because, so anyone can, somehow or another, they can survive. But to be Krishna conscious, that requires endeavor. This is why there's so few who are taking up Krishna consciousness. Because it's not easy. But Srila Prabhupada said it's very easy. It is easy. Like if you set your alarm and then you switch it off. You don't get up. The alarm already woke you up, but you still need a few more minutes to sleep. Then you don't get up. But once you get up, you feel great. So it's just a question of getting over with your mind. Our mind is the trouble that gives us trouble. That's why Krishna says, those who can overcome the mind issue, there you reach the soul. So the highest process is devotional service, but it depends how we are accepting it. We're not able to overcome the mind. We're turning to something else. Mind says, oh, I'll go today and do this and do that. What pleases me the most? Now right now, it's like it's a winter. It's pretty difficult to get up. It's so cold. And you have to walk from the ashram to the shower. It's like freezing cold. I've done through all that. Lived in Mayapur. You know, living in Indian ashram, in a temple ashram atmosphere, is pretty different from here. They even steal your copin from the cupboard and stuff. Sometimes it happens. It's so graphic there. And in the early days we lived in Mayapur, Pusharam was very, very awful, like very simple. But what gives us the pleasure, what makes us strong, is the process of Krishna consciousness, not the material situation. Material situation is a test for us. When you can learn to enjoy Krishna consciousness, when you can learn to develop love for Krishna, taste for serving Krishna, chanting, dancing, serving in many ways, that will give you the inspiration. But when you look for sense enjoyment, better facility for life, for good food and a good facility, that's not going to give you the highest pleasure. You can't mix the two. You need to accept that as part of training. At the same time, we need to develop that love for Krishna as the highest principle that we are offering, Bhagavatam is offering. If you don't take that, then you take the lower pleasure of life. This is why you see so many examples of grihasthas. They are great devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they saw Krishna as the highest. They saw Krishna as the loving. Even the gopis, they were the highest devotees, but they have family. But they just ran after Krishna. Then nobody complained because they are going for Krishna. But if you ideal family is when they can come together, pray together, family that prays together stays together. When you pray together to serve Krishna in our Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada has created that Varnashram. It is, you can see that here. What is Varnashram? Varnashram is the four ashramas. But in Krishna consciousness, it is Varnashram, which is Daiva Varnashram, which means we all are here from any class of people, but we are coming here to serve Krishna together. Jaya Sachi Nandana Gaura Hari. We're singing together in this temple atmosphere. Doesn't matter who you are, and it feels so great. And here we have Indian people from so many backgrounds, from India, and we have Australian people, and people from all over the world. And some places, they have such difficulty to bring people together, because they're going to fight. They can't, you see the so many groups of people, that it's so difficult for them to live together. There's always conflict, all over the world. Blacks, whites, colored people. But here, Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had created a situation when that means when we all can come together in interest of Krishna, to serve Krishna, chant Hare Krishna together, then there is no problem, because we see Krishna as the ultimate source of all pleasure, as our Supreme God. He provides all happiness. Just a few days next week, going to be Krishna's birth, Lord Krishna's birth. This place is going to be just packed. You can't get in the temple, I've heard. My hair is coming in goosebumps by hearing about it. I mean, I've lived last 15 years in Hong Kong and China. Where I lived in China, at Janmashtami we have like one Indian or two. All the devotees, Chinese people. Maybe altogether 100 people. I haven't ever heard 10,000 people in one place. Only in Melbourne. So I heard Krishna Janmashtami is going to be so packed here. And they were telling me that We don't have time to even say Hari Bol to each other. Everyone's so busy. Then you're like, passing by. That's the ultimate mood of Krishna consciousness when we're so absorbed that we don't have time for anything else. In a spiritual world, there's a festival every day. I have been to this Woodstock festival, the Hindu Maharaj's tour. We were talking about it the other day with him in the beginning when they started. They have a huge festival, 6 months, summertime in Europe, Poland, and they get up maybe 4 or 5 o'clock, and they chant japa, no Mangalarti, because they sing all day. And then they have class, Pusharam, out on the road show. Every day, Harinam, 6 to 7 hours. And then evening, they have big program, 10,000 people chanting on the stage, drama, kirtan, talks, and books. They sell so many books. Every day, maybe thousands of books. And Pusharam, 10,000 plates. And they'll give all that money to the BBT, more than the temple can give, just for Maharaj's programs. I have remember when I was with him, I would go to the bank, and that time in the 90s, they didn't have the euro. They didn't have the euros. They had individual country. They had their own money. So we were in Poland. Poland next to Germany, and so they have like million, one note million, 10,000, 20,000, like that. So when I first went there to the bank, I had $100. I went to the bank to change. They said, "Oh, we don't have enough money to change that much." I said, "What?" And then, so we'd get all this money. We had big trunk, one big huge trunk full of money. So I was carrying it to the bank. I changed it into Deutschmark. That time they didn't have euros. So then they changed it all that, and we got this much, like $1,000, US dollar. Or 2,000. You can put it in the wallet. Because so much money, they're just useless. Just like notes. So we are doing book distribution, selling prasadam, and doing the Harinam. They would sell incense and books. And we had Matajis with big trays of samosas, very nice ones. They sell to the people while we're having the Harinam. We sell heaps of prasadam and books like anything. And we are remitting to the BBT more than the temple from Maharaj's program. And that was that time. Now there's heaps of devotees. That was like 1991 when we started that. So Krishna consciousness is so blissful. So if you don't experience Krishna consciousness spiritually, then you look towards material life as the source of enjoyment. And material life will only frustrate us. This is why you're all here. You want to go to university, get a degree, support your family in India, or else you get a family and support yourself. Somewhere in the back of your mind, you've got that kind of a desire for that for future. But actually, we need to just depend on Krishna for everything. Krishna is the most independent God, Swatantra, fully independent. We're not independent. So I'm here, I have this, I have that. We're not independent. At any moment, all things can be taken away from us. One Mataji in New Govardhan, she joined in Sydney when I was there. Devotee. And she lost her son. He's so unhappy. Like days, crying every day. This is months ago already. Putting in the Facebook, "Oh, my son." But this is just material lamentation. Krishna takes away. We have to go one day too. Nothing belongs to us. So family is Krishna's family. You see, Srila Prabhupada left his family. He said, "Tea or me," right? What is that? Or Bhagavatam? "Tea or me." Huh?
"Tea or me."
"Tea or me." And she thought Prabhupada was joking. He said, "No, tea." And Prabhupada left. Bye-bye. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He left in the middle of the night, his family. He swam across the Ganges and went to Katwa, a place where he took sannyas, renounced order of life, gave up his family, middle of the night. It's just, he was only, 24. So, we think God himself is setting the example. And when you're 50, you're 60, you're still clinging on to family. I've seen people like, the old couples still carrying on. But the thing is, it's not a problem. The thing is, we need to be Krishna conscious and experience the higher taste in whatever ashram you are in. Then you will feel blissful. There is bliss in spiritual life. So, understand this principle of how Krishna is the enjoyer. We're not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. We are his servant. Everything belongs to Krishna. Offer it. But like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, whatever I have, my family, I offer to you. That's the song. Arpilutu Abade Nanda Kishar. I give my family, me, all to you, lotus feet. Such a wonderful song. And Rupa Goswami said, Rupa Goswami, these Goswamis, don't think they are Goswami, they are eternal associate of Krishna. They had most wealth than anybody. They work in the government and they're ministers. And they had so much money, is equal to heaven. They gave it all that up and they are running after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hey Radha, hey Braja Devaki Jananda, hey Govardhan. You know, there's a song we sing. Where are you? Are you under the tree? Where is Govardhan? Where is Radha Krishna? They're running after Krishna. They had Gopal, one of the Goswami, they had most beautiful wife and so much wealth. They had gold coins like that you can fill up a boat. We don't see these days, we have the plastic notes. Australian dollar, you can wash them in the washing machine. Because it's plastic. They had the real wealth. They gave it up. Tucha. There's a song, it's called Tucha. Means gave it up like we spit. Tucha means spit. They spit it. And they went running after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is the highest principle of Krishna consciousness, is when we can actually understand the pleasure is there in spiritual pleasure. Seeking for a highest truth. Truth is that pleasure is to be found in the absolute truth. That absolute truth is where to be found in these books, in the association of devotees. Hey Govardhan, hey Radha, hey Braja Devaki. It's all here. You see in this temple. We had this swinging festival last few days. I mean, unbelievable. I couldn't come every night, but the days I came, I saw everyone's like blissful. I made a complaint to the authorities that the Radha Krishna was swinging up so high, it's not comfortable for them. Because maybe they'll fall off or something. Other temples, we are swinging very gently, rope. Then I realized they're enjoying. They're giving everybody an opportunity to swing them as high they can. It's Krishna's, Radha Vallabha's mercy. Everybody can come up, just swing so high. I was thinking, oh, what if the deity gets hurt or fall off or something? But then, they're enjoying. You can really closely look at the Radha Vallabha, the small Radha Vallabha. They're like laughing, they were just enjoying. So I thought, no, I don't have to worry because this is going on for many years. This is what Lord wants. Who am I to complain? I was thinking this, because we're chatting on the Facebook, in the Messenger, saying, no, this temple, I don't like it, the deities are actually not comfortable, swinging up so high, stuff. Then I said, yeah, I'll talk to the people. Then I realized, I came to the, saw the deities very closely, they're like smiling. They liked, and I've been everywhere, they very gently, they pull the rope and stuff. You know, in Dallas, we have very beautiful throne and with made out of wood, and the devotees swing very gently. There's no question of like pushing it up in the air. Not a swing that you push your kid up in the air in a swing.
But here we do it like that. Everyone's like, phew. And the deity is all the way up at the side of the ceiling. So, wow, my God. It's really amazing. Why are you doing it? So, it's very unique. Here, Krishna consciousness is a very unique situation here. If we can observe ourselves fully, you will feel it's very enjoyable. This is the purport, that even the impersonalist, there's no pleasure in there. The pleasure is in the process of devotional service. This Prabhupada explains the impersonalist. How can they achieve anything out of being an impersonalist? There's nothing in there. Highest pleasure is serving. When you serve, like here, we go up to serve prasadam. Everybody wants to sit down and eat, including me. I didn't eat anything for breakfast. I have a cup of tea. Just, and then people who are serving, they're feeling great. I said, would you like me to serve you a plate? So no, I'll just eat. They're feeling that pleasure of serving. There's pleasure in, not like when we are small, I say, no, I don't want to serve. But actually when you serve, when you do service, that's that kind of pleasure that you have to develop that. If you don't develop that service attitude, that serving mood in you, you will not feel that. You have to enjoy. Even the outside people, they say you have to enjoy what you do. In Krishna consciousness, you have to enjoy that. That's how it is. If you don't enjoy Krishna consciousness, and especially if you're anything other than devotional service, especially an impersonalist, it's very dry. Emerge in the light, emerge in the planet, emerge in just one piece. Suppose I give you a beautiful plate of food. It has, you know, like pizza and salad and spaghetti and a donut, and we have chapati, rice, dal, sabji, pakora and paneer, and dokra, and palak paneer, and motor paneer, and aloo gobi, and you name it, millions. Huh? I said, no, I don't want that. Just mix it all up, I'll have it like that. It's too good. Just mix it all up. I'll have it all mixed up, like a khichdi. That'd be weird. So you have to enjoy each part individually, then you can relish it. So Krishna consciousness, the same way, it's like emerge with everything. Where's the pleasure in that? Like we throw a nice halwa to the pig. They don't eat it. They like to roll it around in the ground with all the dust, and then they eat it. So Krishna consciousness needs to experience everything individually and relish it nicely, a little bit of it. So impersonalism is when they just want to merge with everything. There's no pleasure. It's all dry and it's garbage. I mean, it's Krishna's energy, but there's no service in there. What gives a devotee pleasure is service. If you take the service away, emerge. Where's the pleasure? I know there's every day with lunchtime, there's people come up, take the buckets, go up. They're serving. One of those Indian men, he drove me to the city. And, you know, nice, he's got a big car. And he's very humble. He comes up and serves the food. I was thinking, such nice. They're enjoying it, that. They like to do the service. They're not forced to. It's not that they get a paycheck at the end of the week. They're doing it out of love for Krishna, voluntarily. So that's the same for us. We're all here. Doors open for us. And we've seen people go. But if you love Krishna, you love Guru, you stay here and serve. If someone kick you out, that's a different thing. But stay here, serve Krishna, because you love Krishna. That's all. We don't have to be a philosophical and very a big theory and big scholar. Anyone can serve Krishna and get the blessing of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Simple and easy, because it's not a complicated question. Yeah.
In the creation, when Karma Daksha breathed out, did he control his breath?
Who, Krishna?
When Karma Daksha breathed out, Did he control his breath or did he immediately breathe in?
I don't need to ask him.
Can you say it loudly
so they can hear?
When Karna Daksha Vishnu breathed out from his nostril and all the planets came out, did he control his breath for some time or did he immediately breathe in?
Okay. I thought you were going to ask me a very simple question. I haven't heard that he be controlling the breath, that the yogis do that. It's normal breathing. It's mentioned he breathes, breathes out, breathes in, normal breathing. But his breathing in and out and our breathing is different because when he breathes out, his universe is coming, he's not holding it. I guess it's just like the sun rising and the sunset at a particular time every day. So if there is a little bit of delay, that'd be catastrophic. This is always very on time. So it's not like a holding, because everything is system. His normal breathing, Lord, his breathing is like we are breathing, but his breathing, of course, is normal breathing, so at that time, when he's breathing out, breathing in, there's millions of years passed when he breathes in. So there's that normal breathing, but it's within millions of years of celestial time. So that's how it's explained. It's not holding it. I haven't heard that. And that's up to him. If he wants to hold, that would be okay. But I haven't heard that he'd be holding it. But if you want to do, like sometimes we will hold our breath for fun or doing some kind of exercise. So if the Lord wants to hold the breath, then everything has to stay in. That's up to Him. But generally it's breathing in and out normally. But that breathing time period is very long. When He's breathed out, the whole creation is taking place. Breathing in as the end of whole dissolution. So it's just such a long time. So it's not like we breathe because we need the breath. Otherwise, if we can't breathe, we're dead. But for him, it's a lila. And just like Garuda, he heard of Garuda when he's... this is the first day of Julanjatra, they had a wing. You know that? The white wing. I think, well, that's pretty strange. But it just looks good. Yeah, cool. Yeah, really cool. So I was telling them, next time you make the wing, as the swing goes up, the wing should come out same time. And have a tape going, the mantra is singing same time. Well, we had the singing going. And I had the light, should be light in between, different light flashing. As you're swinging, the feathers come out both ways and the light flashes and the mantra comes. So we can stop the singing for a while and they can hear the sound and they start singing. So it could be a fun thing. Because they all had the idea. So if they asked me, I would have got the idea. So Garuda, when he sings, when he's flying down, when Vishnu's at the back of, on his back, they say that the wings, they emanate the mantras. One of the Vedas.
Samaveda.
Sahasrasi sapurusha sahasraksha sahasapate. Like that. I don't know, a little bit. So, sounds coming out. And Garuda is huge. And then when he's coming down, landing in this planet, he reduces the size. So we can meet him because we are small. The Garuda is the size of this building or bigger, a planet. When he's coming down, he reduces the size. So, like that, yeah.
So you mentioned that if you're not coming to the temple and not associating with devotees, you're missing out.
Uh-huh.
What about those people, like some people, they try for the endeavor to come to the temple, but out of some circumstances, they're not able to come. I mean, maybe they go or maybe the family. So what would you say about that?
If you ask this question to somebody who's really heavy, they would answer in their own way. They would say, no, when it's time to eat, you don't miss out the meal. You would make sure you eat. I've heard this answer. But actually, you know, we have to understand everyone's situation. And so you need to adjust. If you can't make it, then it's okay. If you can. But the thing is, you have to have the initial desire. Krishna knows our situation. And we need to adjust that that attitude serving should be there due to some circumstances that we're not able to come or something or the other, then it's understandable. Just like in the early days in Mayapur, in the 70s, they would be taking attendance. You know, attendance, like. And then they were standing at the door for Sharam time. You weren't here for Mangalarti. I didn't go anyway. If I didn't go to Mangalarti, I wouldn't go to Pusharam because they would be embarrassed. They'd stop you there anyway. But you have to keep friends who has Pusharam, then they can share with you. You have to make other adjustments. But the thing is, there's always, Krishna understands. If you have to have some sincere desire, try to be here and like that. Everyone has. If you're like Jayananda Prabhu, who was a great devotee of Srila Prabhupada's disciple, who started the Rathyatra festival in California. And he was out all day cleaning the garbage and buying the boga. He was not always around. He didn't even come to the Prabhupada giving the talk. Prabhupada said, where is Jayananda? He said, oh, he was, he's doing services. He has to go buy the boga. And he was falling asleep when Prabhupada was giving the talk. He was not a kid. He's not from Gurukul. And then sannyasis, they're poking him with the stick. They said, he's sleeping. And Prabhupada stopped them. He said, he does so much service that you all sannyasis put together. Let him sleep in my class. It's okay. So, Krishna understands if we are busy or the other. But we need to adjust ourselves for serving somehow. Yes, not technical, huh?
Why is material world misery? Why is material world misery?
Misery. Okay, that's easy one. But Krishna himself says, Dukhalayam Asasatam. This material world is a place of misery, but this is why we are here. We want to be away from Krishna, enjoy separately from Krishna. So Krishna created the material world. There's birth, death, old age, disease. You are a young boy now, and then one day you will be old, and then disease, different problems. So this is mature world, is a place of misery, so we can come out of this place, because this is not our home. This is a place of misery, this is a place where we can rectify ourselves from this miserable place to go to a better place, spiritual world. But don't think this place is a wonderful place, I stay here. So it's a miserable place to remind us to go to spiritual world. Okay? Hare Krishna.